Amazon has everything for back to school. Zebra lunchbox? Check. Cool Adidas gear like t-shirts, shoes, and backpacks? Check. Triceratops folders and pencils? Check. Laser cat t-shirts? Check. Get your back to school shopping done now at amazon.com/backtoschool and enjoy free shipping on millions of items. No need to leave your home or hassle with crowds. Amazon.com. No better place to get everything back to school from A to Z.
Straight out of Austin, Texas, it's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
On Second Thought, episode 62, powered by Hook'em.com. Cedric Golden here with my man Kirk Bowles. Duck, how about a big-time World Series champion on today's show?
At the expense of my New York Yankees, I might add. But this guy's a good guy, and he lives in Austin.
An Austin night with Big Bank and a World Series ring to boot. Kevin Millar going to cowboy up and join us here on Second Thought. We're also going to talk a little bit on tonight's NBA draft. Jared Allen, where does he go? Is LeBron James's hands in the Cleveland mix getting rid of that GM? And the LaVar Ball saga continues. But first, here's Kevin Millar on Second Thought. Joining us via phone in the dungeon, a major league great. How about that? Give it up for Kevin Millar, longtime veteran, world champion, Austinite. Kevin, how's it going, bro?
It's going good. Getting a little hot here in Austin, Texas, man. I tell you, I think we're in the three digits now for a while now.
We got an early start on summer. That's what we did, didn't we? But you live here now,
yes,
right?
Yes, we did.
How long you been living here?
I live here.
For how long?
Yeah, I moved out here 2010. I got released from the Chicago Cubs, and then we had a house. My wife's from Beaumont, Texas. So we lived out there during the times that I played in the big leagues for about 15 years. And I grew up in Los Angeles, but we weren't going to live in Beaumont, Texas when I was done. So we kind of found a home here. We have four little guys that are just getting ready to get in school. And so we moved out here, didn't know a soul. Just picked up and four car seats and two jet skis, and here we went.
Well, you're kind of the, I don't know if you're the start or the middle or the end of the storm, but a lot of major leaguers like to live in Austin, don't they? I mean, Jeff Kent's here, and Jake Arrieta got a place here, I think, doesn't he?
Yeah, we live down the street, so I kind of recruited everybody to the club. Now, I got John Lackey, Clay Buchholz is my neighbor, John Lackey, and Arrieta bought a lot down here where we're at. So it's we're going to have a heck of a softball team when it's all said and done.
Well, man, I know you spoke at that Positive Coaching Alliance event over at the UT Golf Club. Great event. Karen Aston was there, and Trey Hardy. You talked about how important coaches were in your journey to the majors, particularly Lamar coach Jim Gilligan, 43 seasons before he retired. Could you share with our listeners how he helped keep you going when it seemed that you weren't getting any interest from MLB organizations?
Yeah, it's a cool story. I grew up, like I said, in Los Angeles, California, with that junior college at LA City Junior College, which was the inner city, junior college, and I was there taking ground balls, and randomly Jim Gilligan was out recruiting in California, and he tells a funny story where there was 20 ground balls hit, and I caught five of them, but 15 went off my chest, and not one went by me. So he basically offered me a little recruiting trip to Beaumont, Texas, to Lamar University. Of course, I've never heard of that, and I'm like, told my dad, I'm like, well, it looks like we're going to Beaumont to see the school. But I tell you, it became home. I went there in 92 and 93, went there for 2 years, my junior and senior year. Really helped me grow up as a young man. I was a punk kid from Los Angeles. I had a dream playing in major leagues, and next thing you know, there was a guidance from Coach Gilligan and to be a man, a young man in life. And here you are in college, you're away from your family for the first time. But I had a couple good years there. Back then, obviously, like there was all Sun Belt and all conference and all that stuff, and the draft on, and I was never drafted. So after your senior year, you're not drafted. And the Astros, I think, went 80 or 70 rounds.
Wow.
So not to be drafted in the last round, it was tough. And I didn't know what to do. But Coach Gilligan found me a job in with the St. Paul Saints in the Northern. And at that time, Leon Durham, you know, who played first base for the Cubs and some other major league clubs, you know, he was on that team. And I got a chance to really make $600 a month playing baseball and riding bus rides. And, you know, without him, I wouldn't have that opportunity. So I'm forever in debt with him.
Well, he's just a terrific baseball coach. And he gave A&M and Texas hell and Rice and Houston. And it was really one of the better programs in college baseball if people don't know about it. So, yeah, he's just a terrific guy. And you said you've kind of had to fight and claw to get your way, more than a dozen years in the major leagues. You get a ring, and, you know, going back to the Red Sox, I guess that was probably – was that the most fun year of your life in baseball, Kevin?
Yeah, I tell you, I mean, I came up with the Florida Marlins, and we had a great group of guys. We were just so young, and we were talking about this the other day. I mean, we had so many guys to go on to have 10-plus year careers on that team, but we lost 98 games in 1999.
Wow.
And you look back, and it was the Greg Maddux and John Tom Glavine era in that division. They won 14 straight titles, you know, and Al Leiter with the Mets, and we had – guys like Ryan Dempster and Brad Penny and A.J. Burnett and Josh Beckett, but all were 21 and 22 years old. But you fast 10-plus years, and you got a lot of World Series champions on there.
Oh, yeah.
So it was pretty cool. But I will tell you that the Red Sox years from 03, 04, and 05, there was nothing like it. The passion, the rivalry back then was so opposite of the Yankees. I always tell a story. They were tall, rich, and good-looking. And we were just some bad body guys that kind of just, you know, went out there and played hard-nosed baseball. So, obviously, in 03, we lost in Game 7, and Roger Clemens won the game, and Pedro Martinez, we were up, you know, 5-2, and we gave up a lead, and Aaron Boone hit the walk-off home run. But that made you tougher, because a year later, we did the same thing to them. We walked them off, or beat them at their stadium in Game 7, and gone to sweep the Cardinals and win the first World Series in 86 years.
Well, Kev, can you do me a favor? And we had a conversation, and you named off position by position the guys you had in that 2004 ALCS and the guys they had. I mean, it's just jaw-dropping to hear the comparison of names. Could you take a couple minutes and do that again?
Yeah, I'll tell you. You know, we look at our roster, and you looked at the New York Yankees, and at that time it was the biggest rivalry in sports, you know, before obviously, or after the Larry Bird and Magic Johnson Celtic Lakers, it was the Yankees Red Sox.
Oh, yeah.
And you looked at it, and on paper, this is what makes the game so great, is that on paper, the game's not played, but you had Alex Rodriguez for the New York Yankees starting third base. You had Derek Jeter starting shortstop. You had Soriano, I believe, or he might have been after. I'm not sure who the second baseman was, but then you had Jason Giambi at first, and those three guys field were making $20+ million a year. You had Matt Sui out in left field, he's making 15, and you had Bernie Williams making another 15 or 20, and you had Gary Sheffield making another, you know, 15 million and right, and then you know, Prado behind the plate making his 10 to 12 million, and then you had us at Billy Miller was at third base making two, and you had Orlando Cabrera at shortstop making a couple, you had Mark Bellhorn making $500,000 at second, you had Kevin Millar making a couple million at first, and Trot Nixon and Wright, Johnny Damon in center, and Manny Ramirez was our one star, you know, out there in left field with Jason Baratek behind the plate. And, you know, Manny Ramirez and Big Poppy obviously were nothing to shake a stick at. That 3-4 combination was
awesome. Yeah, they did okay.
It went to show you that on paper the Yankees dominate, you know, life. But, you know, I always say we weren't the best players, but we were the best team, and we ultimately – went off and won that World Series for the Boston Red Sox that year.
And you were Manny Ramirez's babysitter, right?
I was. I told Theo Epstein, who's now the president of the Cubs and done such a wonderful job over there winning the World Series last year. But Theo, I always said he owes me $5,000 a month for babysitting dues. You know, I mean, Manny and I were very close. And he didn't let a whole lot of people in his circle. But there was one thing that, you know, he and I had a connection, and we loved to work and loved to hit. And I just basically, you know, followed him around and just picked his brain daily, but you had to keep him on the same same page because some days he didn't know what city we were in.
you would earn that $5,000 a month. And you and Johnny Damon, y'all just never seem to have any fun, you know. I mean, you're clean cut guys, and I want to know about the tequila shot story. Is that a true with you and Johnny Damon, the doing tequila shots before a game?
It was actually in that championship game. It was a misty night in New York, and we hit in the cages that night. I think it was game six, and we went off, and I grabbed a bottle of Jack Daniels, and I saw it, and I said, "Boys, we're supposed to Jack Daniels." So we did like a symbolic toast. We poured some Jack Daniels, some Gatorade cups, and went up there, and we won the game that night. So, of course, you know, superstitions of baseball players, we got to do it again. So the next night we did it again, we won, and then the next four games against the Cardinals, we swept them in the World Series four straight. And they were the team to beat because they won 100-some-odd games that year in the National League with Jim Edmonds, Scott Rowland, and Edgar Renteria, and Albert Pujols, and Larry Walker.
Oh, they were good.
They had a great team, and we ended up sweeping them. So we're 6-0. Doing symbolic toast of Jack Daniels before a game as a team.
Don't mess with a streak, man.
And where did you come up with the cowboy up? And I wonder, did you copyright that and make any money off of that phrase?
Man, I wish I did. I wasn't a very good businessman. So the Red Sox made all that money. But that was a game in 2003. We were like a couple weeks going in the season, and Derek Lowe came out of the game. Blister and the media and the fans were all over, you know, Derek Lowe, and he couldn't throw. And so I kind of called the media over to my locker and I said, "Y'all need to cowboy the hell up. I mean, this group of guys are out here busting our butts. You know, this guy's bleeding on his finger." And so the next day, a reporter came up to me and said, "What's that mean?" I said, "Man, that just means we're just a bunch of cowboys. We fall on a horse, we didn't get back up." And I was just kind of just talking. And the next day, it was front page. Millard tells the media to cowboy up and the fans to cowboy up. Everybody sees I reside in Beaumont, Texas, so they all think I own a ranch, and I'm a rancher. Here I grew up in Los Angeles, California. I can't even saddle a horse, but we went on and did it and got to Game 7 and lost to the Aaron Boone home run, but the next year it was pretty cool.
I'm going to tell you, Kirk Schilling came to that club fresh off a big win with Randy Johnson in Arizona, and I guess he wasn't familiar with how you did things in the Red Sox locker room, that it was more of a familial atmosphere. How did you get him up to speed on how things worked at the Red Sox locker room?
Well, you know, Schilling came over, like you said, Randy Johnson, and with Randy Johnson, you know, was a big name at that time in his career, and he's a stud, and we needed a stud. But, you know, he came over kind of the chest out and maybe a little bit better than we were, you know, in the first hour or two. So we broke him down quick, you know, and he was the ball for one of our video guys in spring training. So me and another catcher out there, Doug Mirabelli, who was a backup, we loved to razz and kind of let guys, you know, and that's what a team's about. And so we just straightened Schilling, you know, up, you know, a couple of days in. And said, "Hey, bro, this is Sox. This is how we roll. We're a family." And, you know, we broke him down. And next thing you know, this man ended up helping us win a World Series, who was amazing on the days he pitched.
Just a bunch of idiots, right?
That's all we were. Just a bunch of idiots at that time.
Where are the Kevin Millars now? Kevin, why did you ever retire? I mean, we need more Kevin Millars out there. I mean, and I don't know who inherited your mantle. We need somebody, don't we?
You know what? The game pushed out the old veteran guys, position player guys. It's such a young, dynamic, everybody's athletes. This kid Cody Bellinger from the Dodgers got 21 home runs.
And, oh, my God.
You know, he's 21 years old. I mean, they got so many young studs that it's kind of weird because, you know, that leadership is almost out of the game, you know, position player-wise, because the old Crash Davis isn't around.
Well, what about Cody Bellinger? You got him hitting 21 in, what, 51 games? You got Aaron Judge hitting 23. I mean, what do you make of those two in particular? And are we seeing some of the great sluggers that are going to be, you know, the next Pujols or somebody like that?
Yeah.
Think so?
Yeah, I tell you what, they're studs. I mean, this kid Cody Bellinger came up April 25th, missed the first 3.5 weeks of the season, and has 21 home runs, and obviously Aaron Judge, what he's done for the Yankees. It's remarkable. I mean, the game's in a good spot. They got a lot of great young players, you know, obviously with Mike Trout and Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, and, you know, there's no one or not, the stud with Colorado. It's just got a lot of fine players, Francisco Lindor and Carlos Correa. So it's in a good place. It's just so young and talented that you're just like, wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got the Rockers. You mentioned Arenado, 20 games over 500, and Bud Black doing work with a bunch of pitchers that are in their mid-20s. Did you see this coming at the beginning of the season?
No, I tell you, I'm not bragging, but I picked him to be a wild card winner.
Nice.
I didn't think the Giants were the Giants weren't a good team, in my opinion. I thought they'd struggle, and they have struggled. I had the Dodgers win division. I had the Rockies winning a wild card, and everybody's kind of thinking I was crazy, but I fake good. They have a lot of good young pitchers that people don't know about. Obviously, offensively, this Charlie Blackman kid could just absolutely rake.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty dynamic.
Yeah, they really are. And Arizona's another team that's kind of surprised. You know, Shelby Miller's finally coming on. Zach Greinke obviously did well at the Dodgers. So, you know, you look for them to kind of stay right there, too.
Yeah, no doubt. That West, they have three teams. First time in our since they started this division, they have three teams with over a .620 winning percentage. The Rockies and the Dodgers and Diamondbacks. So it's truly an amazing division, the West. They don't get enough credit. And, it's interesting. It'll be a great run this year.
And I wanted to ask you real quick, Rangers-Astros. Do you think the Rangers should be sellers, and the Astros, what do they need, another starting pitcher to make a big run in the playoffs?
Yeah. If you're trying to win a World Series, they definitely need a starter, and they need another arm in the bullpen. And I wouldn't count the Rangers out by any means because Beltre's back. And when you got Beltre, who is a leader, and then you got Cole Hamels will be back from the DL. They got Darvish. You know, they have enough firepower. They just are in a tough division with the Astros being so good, but they have a chance to take a wild card. I wouldn't count them out by any means.
Mm-hmm.
Well, check out Kevin Millar on Intentional Talk weekdays, 3:00 on ESPN 2 and 4:00 on MLB Network. Kevin, man, we appreciate it very much. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you along down the line, sir.
Y'all the best, man. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Don't forget to cowboy up, okay?
Take care, buddy.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right, buddy. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Duck, that Kevin Millar, there's nothing like a Major League Baseball player with all the clubhouse stories that we don't always get.
And he is entertaining. I tell you what, he is Captain Fun, and for any of you out there who don't tune into his show, Intentional Talk on MLB, it's fascinating. It's very good, and you can tell he and Chris Rose have a lot of chemistry, unlike us, and they have a lot of fun.
Chris Rose is one of the most underrated guys in broadcasting. I liked him on that Best Damn Sports Show that was on Fox for a while. He's done some NFL Network stuff with Deion Sanders.
He's solid.
He's a pro cat. And
he's a pro.
Kevin Millar is as funny as you think he is. Let's get down to some NBA talk. News comes out earlier this week that LeBron James's GM boss, David Griffin, did not sign an extension with the Cavs.
It
wasn't his choice. Of course he wanted to stay in the fold with this championship contender, but now he's gone. Do you think, and LeBron James tweeted out some cryptic message, if no one else loved you, I did, Griff.
Mm-hmm.
We got us one. Do you buy that LeBron James isn't innocent in all of this? I wonder, because I know if when I'm making calls like the one to not resign the GM, I'm probably going to run it by the best player in the NBA.
Yeah, but Dan Gilbert and there's salt and pepper, oil and water. I just don't think they get along. I don't think they ever have. I don't think all fences were mended, even though LeBron came back from Miami to Cleveland and brought him a championship and almost a second championship if Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love weren't hurt the first time they met Golden State. So, that's one thing about superstars, and I guess everybody, you want to be loved. And LeBron, he tries to kind of tread carefully, but, his fingerprints are all over this. And, I took a little shot at him in my 9 things saying,
so cheap.
Just take a page from Tim Duncan or Kawhi Leonard and just play basketball. I mean, well, how come you never, ever hear a Spur saying, Popovich did this, or R.C. Buford just didn't give me enough help? Have you ever heard one Spur pop off, ever?
They don't have a whole lot of divas. They ran off Dennis Rodman after
yeah,
a couple
he was
of seasons.
Yeah, he was a cameo. Was he was a spare part.
Steven Jackson was kind of a diva, but they've never had a guy that was like a franchise player.
No, never.
That spoke out like that. LeBron, David Robinson, Avery Johnson, Tim Duncan, Kawhi Leonard. Those guys are pros that aren't into Twitter followings and Instagram and all of that. They were into playing basketball, but I really think I know Dan Gilbert and LeBron don't have the best relationship, and LeBron came back for the city. He didn't come back for Dan Gilbert.
No, he did not.
He wanted to bring a championship to the land, but to me, I still was kind of baffled by the fact that Griffin can help build such a really nice roster. Not their fault that they're not as good as a 73-9 team that added Kevin Durant. But there's got to be more to it than
that.
Well,
and he tried. He got Kyle Korver. It wasn't his fault that Korver disappeared in the finals. Kevin Love played probably the best of his postseason career. Who was the big Andrew Bogut,
got hurt.
He got hurt, and they didn't have the rim protector that they needed. So, to me, this really wasn't on Dave Griffin, and what I understand from everything I've read is that he did not want to make expendable Kyrie Irving, and I salute him for that. I think Kyrie Irving is a superstar, and if you had to rank all the players in the NBA, don't you think Kyrie Irving's top 15 minimum?
Oh, yeah.
Is he top 10?
Borderline, I'm not sure.
Borderline, but he's right close, isn't he?
He's young, and he's going to be.
I love him.
Yeah, and if he could ever stay healthy, they're going to win another championship. LeBron still has two or three really good years left in his tank at a high level. And if that's why he left, because Gilbert wanted to deal Kyrie, I don't blame him one bit.
I don't either. And, it's not exactly a badge of courage staying and working for Dan Gilbert. I'm sure, Dave Griffin will find work. I think some of the GM spots were filled already. But, he goes through GMs like you and I do socks, So, that's kind of Gilbert's M.O. Paul George is the one. He's the X factor out there, and Jimmy Butler. And, by the time we tape this, when it airs, maybe a trade will have been done already. I think Jimmy Butler would fit in perfectly with Cleveland. Paul George, he needs the ball, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does need the ball, but I'm going to tell you, when you play with LeBron James, you're going to get the ball.
Yeah, but you don't have the ball in your hands that much, especially if you have Kyrie and LeBron. And Paul George, those are all three offensive players. Jimmy Butler's a two-way player, and I think that's what they need, than Paul George.
Paul George is a decent defensive player. He's not nearly in Jimmy Butler's class.
No.
Jimmy Butler's like a shutdown cornerback.
I think he's the perfect fit for them if they could pull that off.
I would prefer Paul George to Jimmy Butler, because at the end of the day, you're going to need offense to play against the Golden State. And Paul George is a guy that scored 27, 28 points a game. Jimmy Butler works hard on both ends. I think it's a win-win. We both agree that if that happened, they'd probably have to let Kevin Love go, right?
Yeah, I almost definitely would. And, they'd have to give up something. I'd love to see, the Spurs, and I've heard the Rockets were looking into Paul George as well. With Pau Gasol not taking his player option, even though he may stay and get a longer contract, that's going to free up some cap space for the Spurs, I think about $22 million. So it'll be interesting what sweepstakes they get into, because, they're a team that could use another offensive hand. We've all saw LaMarcus Aldridge come and go in the playoffs, and not the definitive number two like a Kyrie Irving and a LeBron, or not like a Durant or a Steph Curry. He was probably a 2.5, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Kawhi's a 1, and he's a 2.5. So he's not always there.
Yeah, and it's an offensive league now. Let's call it what it is.
It is, it is.
Three-pointers flying. Popovich hates the threes, but
right.
He understands what he needs to do to be competitive in today's generation of a game. Let's discuss closer to the house. Mm-hmm. Jared Allen.
Jared Allen.
If you, do you think Jared Allen made the right decision?
Oh,
to come
yeah,
out?
No question about it. He, you know, because if he's not a lottery pick tonight, he's going to be right there on the fringe. He's going to be a clear first round. He may be the best pure center in this draft. You know, I've seen Milwaukee as a possible landing spot for Jared Allen. You know, selfishly, I think you and I would love to see him come back and mature more in college. But, you know, you get more help, and you can play basketball 24/7 in the NBA where you can in a 20-hour work week in the NCAA. So, yeah, no question about it, he made the right decision.
Yeah, he did. And you think about the exclusive one-and-done club at Texas with Miles Garrett and Kevin Durant,
right?
The great Kevin Durant. Yeah, I saw an NBA.com mock draft that had him at number 17 to the Bucks. I think that's a good spot for mm-hmm. him. They need some interior help. I still think it's going to be a while before he gets his sea legs when it comes to going up against bigger, stronger posts in the NBA. But the one thing that I've noticed, Duck, is there's not a lot of teams running post-up plays. So He's gonna be a guy that can step out and make a 15-foot jump shot. He's shown that ability. He's got long arms.
He can run the floor.
I think he can run the floor and get
pretty good passer.
Some cheap baskets. The one thing that I worry about is how will he handle double team pressure? We saw him struggle near the end of the year with that. They don't double as much in the NBA.
Well, they're not going to double him for yeah. sure. He's not Anthony Davis,
especially if he's on the same team with the Greek Freak. So. Yeah, so we probably won't see that as much. One other thing, defensively, I don't know that he's going to be as good a presence early on as a Miles Turner, who has a grown man's body coming out of Texas.
Yes.
Jared can still add 15 or 20 pounds
oh, yeah.
to his frame. So I'm with you. He made the right decision. It would have been nice to see him come back, but it's also going to be hopefully – he stays up on the big team for a full year and is not subjected to going back and forth to some D league. I think he's one of those guys, if he lands in the right position like a Milwaukee, he's going to be a guy that's going to be on the floor every night.
Yeah, he can help them right away. They were a playoff team, and they'll be good in the future. And I think it's a good place for him to start and for him to grow and add bulk and add maturity. No, I agree with you. I think that'd be a perfect destination spot for him.
And one more question: you think what this LeVar Ball circus?
Who is he?
It's gonna. I know
LeVar
you can't
Ball.
Stand it.
Did you buy how many pairs of shoes did you buy?
How many of the big baller brands?
Yeah,
did
how
I
many?
Buy?
How
oh
many did you
God.
Get?
One more pair than a dead man.
Oh my God!
I'm gonna tell you though, the circus is gonna end up in L.A.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see how Magic Johnson's gonna handle this circus, because that's what it is.
And how about Luke
it's
Walton?
It's a circus.
Oh, he's going to handle it. Wouldn't that be funny if he just like he pulled an Aaron Rodgers and slipped and went like 20th or something like that?
Too talented.
I know it's not going to happen.
I like the Aaron Fox myself.
I do too. He doesn't have the perfect game, but boy, is he athletic, and you know he can shoot. So, yeah, I like De'Aaron Fox, too. A lot of people like Tatum out of Duke, but I like athletes, and they already have D'Angelo Russell there. So, Lakers will be interesting. You know, they're trying to get in with the trades, too, and to improve themselves. So, it's going to be an interesting summer for the NBA.
That will do it for episode 62 of On Second Thought. Duck, we got to thank Kevin Millar.
Hey, before you sign off, I think he hit on something that we, you know, need to take note of. I think we should start doing Jack Daniel's shots before every podcast. I think that would loosen us up and be a little more free-flowing, don't you think?
I think you're already doing it. Check us out every Thursday on Hook'em.com for the Duck. I'm Seth Golden. Later.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Seth and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.
Amazon has everything for back to school. Zebra lunchbox? Check. Cool Adidas gear like t-shirts, shoes, and backpacks? Check. Triceratops folders and pencils? Check. Laser cat t-shirts? Check. Get your back to school shopping done now at amazon.com/backtoschool and enjoy free shipping on millions of items. No need to leave your home or hassle with crowds. Amazon.com. No better place to get everything back to school from A to Z.